One of the holiest sites in Christianity fully reopens to the public this Easter Sunday after a year-long renovation. It's the tomb where Jesus is believed to have been laid after his crucifixion and where, according to Christian belief, he was resurrected after death. The tomb is inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Fred Hebert is an archaeologist in residence at the National Geographic Society and a member of the team that took part in renovating the tomb. Fred, welcome to Here and Now.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And is it true, first of all, that it took more than 50 years for all of the branches of the Christian church to agree on the renovations?
Yeah, it takes a long time for agreements to happen at the church because there are so many stakeholders. The original agreement to renovate the edicule, the central shrine in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, was done in 1959.
Wow.
It takes a long time. That's not really considered a long time in church time.
Well, how do we know that this is Jesus' tomb?
Well, we don't know. There's the science of history, and there's the science of conservation at play here. And then there's a certain amount of faith that's involved. So if you believe that that's the spot, we have a lot of information to add to our knowledge about that spot now, because we actually had a chance to open up that innermost shrine.
Well, let's talk about what it looks like in there. I visited back in November. This is in the old city of Jerusalem. You go into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So you're in a church, and then within that church is the tomb.
That's correct. And it's been that same location since about the 4th century A.D. At that time, the 4th century, that part of Jerusalem was outside of town. It was outside of the city walls in an area that was not abandoned, but it had been used as a quarry and then it had been used as a cemetery. When the Romans came into town in Jerusalem, they actually built a temple to Aphrodite there. It was kind of like marked the spot with the first Christian church. Constantine era, the 4th century AD, they were looking for something tangible, and they interviewed the people. They kind of extracted information, doing what we would call oral histories, and then actually digging some stuff up. They put the church there, and that's the shrine. Since the 4th century AD, it's been like that. What you see today is really quite remarkably different. It's in the old Christian quarter of Jerusalem. It's surrounded by a giant bazaar, covered bazaar. It's like one of the oldest parts of town. And the church doors are open. And you think, wow, that's pretty unusual after being in this closed, covered bazaar. This is not only an ancient site, but you obviously feel the reverence of the hundreds and hundreds of pilgrims that are there today.
Well, and it's actually not very far away within the church from another important site when it comes to the history of Jesus.
That's correct. And there's the place of the crucifixion, and it's all under one roof. And then you walk from that hilltop down maybe about 100 feet, and you get to the shrine, to the tomb. It's absolutely an amazing sound space, and the scent of candles and the song of Gregorian chants done by the monks is an incredible experience being inside. Up until the renovation of the edicule, it was also one of the darkest, dingiest places I'd ever visited.
Hmm. Well, and what exactly did you have to do during the renovation? What was the point of it?
Well, we were there. National Geographic was there following the conservation of an amazing group of Greek conservators who had really made their name putting in some renovations at the Acropolis, but also helping to stabilize the famous basilica in modern-day Istanbul called Hagia Sophia. So they were invited here to Jerusalem to do pretty much the same thing, except for one extra caveat. And that is that they had to do all of their renovations and conservations while it was still actively being used as a pilgrimage.
Right. And one of the things that the renovations did was to remove iron girders put up by the British in 1947 to support sagging walls.
That's right. The thing about the church is that today It's not only a church and a shrine, it's also a monastery. There's like 50 monks that live there, and they all have to agree on everything. So that's one of the reasons that it takes so long to make decisions about renovations or who gets to sweep what tile or who gets to change what light bulb. Everything takes a long time.
So one of the things that I know was discovered during the renovations is that the ground beneath the church and the tomb is unstable. Is the building at risk of collapse?
Well, there's a lot to learn by doing these studies. We're just getting the data in. We have 21st century sort of non-invasive techniques being used, radar, LIDAR, thermography, to look deep through the walls and into the ground. It's our first time to actually sort of have the chance to see underground without actually having to dig anything. The problem is that there are a lot of tunnels, and the area was an ancient quarry 2,000 years ago. So there's an urgency to start repairing what is underneath.
But an urgency, as we spoke about, could mean 50 more years of negotiations before a new renovation could start.
I think they got the bug to start doing things a little bit quicker. The amazing thing about this particular project is that as the edicule was conserved and it started to be cleaned and you could start seeing the black going to beautiful crystalline white marble and the inscriptions going around, everybody who's a stakeholder became more and more enthused. We just had the final ceremony, the handoff of the church, of the edicule back to the church, and I never saw so many black-robed patriarchs smiling so big.
Hmm. Well, the other amazing thing about this site that you were working on is that you are just steps away at, you know, one of the holiest sites in Christianity. You are steps away from the holiest site in Judaism and one of the holiest sites in Islam.
It's absolutely true. It was sort of an astonishing thing for an archaeologist like myself who is frequently in Egypt or working along the Silk Road to come to a place where in the Holy Lands, everything is relatively close to each other. All of Jerusalem is like that. I mean, you've got the holiest churches in the Christian quarter, which are, you know, a couple hundred feet away from some of the holiest places in Judaism and in Islam, probably the holiest square mile in the world.
After spending so long right next to Jesus' tomb, did it mean much to you at the end of it, or did it just seem like another day at work?
No, I tell you, it was really one of the more extraordinary experiences in my life as an archaeologist. I spent this spring sort of visiting Tutankhamun's tomb in the Valley of the Kings, and that's more of a typical day for me where you go into one of these ancient sites and, okay, so it's 3,000 years old. That's like cool. And you're by yourself and it's sort of like you're communing with the past, right? In this case, you're communing with the past in the Church of the Holy Edicule. And at the same time, you've got pilgrims everywhere. You've got some of them are in deep ecstasy. And you've got monks who are coming out and praying and incense and candles. And it's just such a different living space. It's a unique experience.
That's Fred Hebert, who is an archaeologist in residence at the National Geographic Society, part of the team that took part in renovating the tomb of Jesus in Jerusalem. Fred, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And let's now hear the sound of the monks that Fred was talking about of the Greek Orthodox Church who are based at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Listening to Here and Now.